and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The air in Wisconsin is safer to breathe tonight. The Air Quality Index, or AQI, is moderate to good in most of the state. That's an improvement over the unhealthy air we were breathing earlier this week. There's also a good chance of rain in the forecast, and that should make things better in southern and central Wisconsin. More than 700,000 people in Wisconsin are on the hook for their student loans again after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling this morning. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The U.S. Supreme Court is striking down. The U.S. Supreme Court is striking down President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. The court's conservative majority says the $400 billion plan amounts to unconstitutional overreach by the president. Biden's plan would have canceled up to $10,000 in federal student loan debt for people who earn less than $125,000 a year, or married couples who make less than $250,000. About 708,000 people in Wisconsin owe $22 billion on their federal student loans. Biden's initiative aimed to free up the spending power of the middle class. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, the people who run Wisconsin's colleges and universities are starting to process what another Supreme Court ruling means for them. As Mike Moen reports, the high court struck down race as a factor in college admissions this week.
The National Urban League's Mark Morial says the decision reeks of politics under a court that includes a handful of justices appointed by former President Donald Trump.
From our perspective, this decision is a gutting and a weakening of years of progress towards racial justice in this nation via the very sacred 14th Amendment and its Equal Protection Clause.
Meanwhile, regional schools like the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee have issued statements saying they're discussing how the court's actions will affect their admissions programs. But UWM says it remains committed to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. I'm Mike Moen.
The budget for Wisconsin for the next 2 years is now on Governor Evers' desk. Evers tells Channel 18 in Eau Claire he'll make as many partial vetoes as he can. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss predicts Evers will veto less than he's indicated.
He might huff and puff and say what he's going to do, but in the end, he will look and say it's good for the middle class, it's good for every Wisconsinite, and that's why he signs it into law.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer sounds more inclined to take the governor at his word.
The governor was elected by the people of Wisconsin to make difficult decisions in divided government, and we trust that he will use his power to do the right thing by the people of Wisconsin when it gets to his desk.
Evers objects to tax cuts for Wisconsin's highest earners and defunding University of Wisconsin diversity offices. I'm Terry Bell.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A charity golf event in Marshfield raises money for Alzheimer's. Brittany Merlot has the story.
Well, it was a day of fun and golfing Tuesday at River's Edge Golf Course. It was also a day to raise awareness and remember those impacted by the disease. This was the fifth year the event took place, and it has raised over $100,000 over the years. While the disease takes a toll on our emotions, it also comes at a huge cost. In 2023, the Alzheimer's Association reports it will cost the nation more than $345 million. More than 6 million Americans live with some form of dementia, and it's one of the leading causes of death in the elderly.
Some people are commenting on the lack of visitors to local businesses in Stevens Point. But the U.S. Senior Open is just getting warmed up. There's only been one day of the actual tournament, and Century World has been busy. Once the playing field narrows and the weekend arrives, businesses will hopefully see more tourists in town. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
The Brewers road trip continues. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens. The Brewers in Pittsburgh tonight to open up a three-game weekend series against the Pirates. Freddy Peralta on the mound against the Pirates rookie right-hander Osvaldo Beto. First pitch at PNC Park coming up at 6:05. The Brewers coming off a 3-1 series win in New York against the Mets. The final last night from Citi Field, 3-2 in favor of Milwaukee. Bally Sports Wisconsin's Brian Anderson on the Brewers. Brian Anderson, who nearly hit a grand slam but got just enough to bring in the go-ahead run.
Here's Brian Anderson now. 0-2 pitch. Anderson drives one into right center field. Nemo is on the run at the wall. He makes the catch. will tag. Contreras will score. And the Brewers have taken the lead in the seventh inning.
Craig Counsell very satisfied with how his bullpen responded this week against the Mets. He also decided to start Adrian Hauser last night against New York. Instead of waiting for this weekend series against the Pirates, Hauser got the win.
Yeah, we had a good game. He had a great defensive game. You know, we thought with Adrian, kind of the reason to get him here instead of just wait till Pittsburgh was Adrian Hauser's pitching. There's going to be balls on the ground. There's going to be a chance for him to make some plays, and there was.
NFL, the league suspended three players indefinitely for betting on NFL games. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur says players need to understand the league's rules regarding gambling.
I think any time news of that came out, certainly that was addressed in our team meetings.
Round two wrapping up at the U.S. Seniors Open at Century World in Stevens Point. Rod Palming, Retief Goosen, Vijay Singh, just some of the players competing. Tough day for Steve Stricker, who shot 73 yesterday, one over par, snapping his tour record of 55 consecutive rounds at par or better.
You know, I felt probably more pressure. Now it's kind of like, okay, let's go have fun and see where it goes.
Madison's Jerry Kelly playing despite an injured left wrist.
It's inflamed. I felt it right away, so I had to numb it, just kind of swing through.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Groot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the happier, happy hour. It's getting happy up in here right now. Live in the WAUK studios. Not just Crudy, not just Dom, but we've got Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn, welcome back to the second greatest radio show ever.
You're gosh darn right. It's good to be back, guys.
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for joining us.
Maggie, there are some interesting legal rulings that have come down from the U.S. Supreme Court. And for those unfamiliar, Maggie does her own show right here on the Civic Media Network, 6 to 7 p.m., the Maggie Dawn Show. Give it a listen. But not usually on Fridays, but we've called you off the bench. We need you. We need you on this wall, Maggie. Explain the rulings. Let's start with the student loan relief ruling. The U.S. Supreme Court, in my understanding, the ruling was 6-3. Normal cast of characters, conservatives, all six voted to overrule what the executive's ability to forgive student loan debt.
Yeah, this was a pretty straight up separation of powers, sort of balance of powers question. Biden did this ostensibly under the HEROES Act. I think one of the interesting things is that we just heard, I think a couple of hours ago, that he's going to try it again under the Higher Education Act of 1965. So your listeners may be thinking like, wait a minute. You try it this way, they say no, you actually get to try again. Yes. The question, this is basically the technical term here, is we're talking about administrative law. So when a legislative body, whether it's your state legislature or the Congress, adopts a law, they can't specify in the law exactly everything that the law could possibly apply to, nor how it's going to precisely apply. That's what the executive branch does. They execute the laws. So in this case, Biden had taken a fairly aggressive read of the HEROES Act to put, which basically said in times of emergency, the government can take extraordinary actions to sort of manage the educational system. And you can see, why would it be called the HEROES Act? Well, it's about wars. Okay, yeah, I can see some federal government expansion of powers during wartime if we needed certain skill sets or things like that, right? So this was a pretty aggressive read. And basically the question was like, do you have sufficiently enough of an emergency that it qualifies under the language of that act? I actually think despite the depravity of the outcome, the impact here, that the Supreme Court may have had the law here correct. I think looking at this question under the Higher Education Act of 1965, you're going to be doing the same thing, that it will be challenged again, which I think is genius politics, by the way.
Keep it in front of everybody.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like, keep going at it until you force Congress to act, right? Like, because Republicans refuse to address the issue of student loan debt, which is nothing short of a crisis, right? It's like over $3 trillion or something like that. And remember, you know, this wasn't, student debt forgiveness for everybody for everything, right? It was income delimited. I've digressed. Getting back to the law. The question will be, does the language of the Higher Education Act of 1965 provide the executive branch and therefore the president enough power to do this under that act? So he's going to try it again. It will be challenged again. My opinion is Biden should keep doing this until the GOP in Congress or in states really does something to deal with the student debt crisis in this country. And I've heard a lot of conservative commentators today sort of vilifying.
Yeah, don't take the loan if you can't pay it back.
Right. Not just that. And then vilifying these institutions of higher education, right? Oh, yeah. By saying they have these bloated endowments. Well, that's true for a very small percentage of universities. Like, you think of the Ivies. Yes, they have endowments that outpace the GDP of some small nations, right? It just seems super disingenuous to me for Republicans to take that kind of posture when, if you take our state, for example, Republicans aren't funding the university system here in Wisconsin, which used to be one of the systems of highest esteem and most affordable and accessible to working families here in Wisconsin. And they're gutting that system slowly but surely, drip, drip, drip. And lest I forget, of course, Governor Walker, remember what he tried to do? He slipped into this budget where he actually was trying to take out of state law the language that described the Wisconsin idea.
Oh, I recall.
Right? Education for education's sake, so that we have an informed populace and citizenry.
Republicans don't want informed populace.
No, clearly not. So that was the student loan forgiveness policy. And I want to say this here on this show. I think this would be a really good place to say this. So I have now worked in government for nearly 12 years. I spent the first, like, seven, 8 years of my career in private practice. I was a single person entirely on my own. I never got married. While I was making very good money, it was extraordinarily expensive where I was living, right? Like in New York and Chicago. I had to travel quite a bit, most of it covered by work. And I don't mean this to be, oh, poor me, I had this great privilege. I did. It was wonderful. But it's not like I was walking away from that with, like, cha-ching, I'm good for the rest of my life. So when I went into public service, I had to rejigger my entire lifestyle. I had gotten burned in the 2008 crash really bad. So I was, like, just barely solvent, right? So one of the things that wasn't impacted by this decision is the public service student loan forgiveness program. And I actually applied for that. You have to have 10 years of continuous service in public service to qualify for this loan program. So I applied this past fall and my loans were just forgiven. I didn't have much left. It was maybe like $8,000 or $9,000, but it was forgiven just a few months ago. And I had a fixed loan rate. I had managed it really well. It was a very low interest rate, nothing that was going to hamper my monthly budget, right? But it was like, I couldn't believe how overwhelmingly relieving that was.
Yeah.
Just the mind space that those things occupy. And so I think one of the really, really dastardly parts of today, regardless of what the legal merits are here, is the harm that this is really going to cause, not just to pocketbooks, right? And are people going to be able to make rent? But, like, the psychological whiplash of what's going on here is just extraordinarily callous. So, again, I think Biden, keep going back at this. Force the GOP and the Supreme Court to keep telling middle America no, and that we don't really care about you.
Maggie, I was supposed to get some money from the GI Bill. Student loan reimbursement. I never did. Since we've been doing this show, about 12 years now, since we've been on this show, I've repaid my student loans. And it wasn't the well-paying job that is the devil's advocates, but, you know, life allowed me to finally get caught up in my 40s.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm
46.
Yeah. I had a mass comm degree, which, I mean, nearly worthless. And I got to tell you, I didn't have that much debt. I only borrowed 10 grand, but by the time I started paying it back, it was like 16 grand. And it took me the next 20, 15 years of my life to pay it back.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a better shot of paying off the mortgage.
Yeah.
Well, and you can't strike them in bankruptcy. When did that come around? Right. That wasn't always the case, right?
No, that's been around for a couple of decades at least. Yeah. But that would be an interesting origin story, wouldn't it? Like, how was that exception made? Because it would seem to me that of all of the debt that someone might need most resolved in bankruptcy, it would be that, oh my gosh, I got an underwater basket weaving degree and it cost me 200 large at Yale.
I'm less sympathetic to that circumstance than the guy that comes back from the Army and goes to the University of Phoenix, which gives him a degree that effectively doesn't qualify him to do anything. You know, if you went and got an under, if you were dumb enough to get a mass comm degree from anywhere, that's on you. But
well, I think what you're pointing
I draw a distinction to the intent of the universities themselves.
Well, this
if
is
if you
the
call the University of Phoenix a university.
This is the tension point, right? If we accept the Wisconsin idea as true, right, that education, even in not marketable, not bankable fields, is valuable, that then that leads you to a place where government does have a very clear role in subsidizing higher education, because not all function areas are equally needed at different points in an economic cycle, right? But yet we need people that understand British romantic poetry from blah, blah, blah. It deepens our understanding of humanity. That's why things are called, I've studied the humanities, right? Like the education and
welding.
Only welding. Well, and this is what Walker tried to do with the Wisconsin idea, was basically say, no, we're creating labor widgets.
Right.
And that's all that matters. So if you just start with the first principles here, if we all can say that we want an informed population.
Can't say it. They don't want it.
Well, that's my point. That's why I say start with the values, because if you're at least going to front like you care like that, well, then if education for education's sake matters, then that leads us to certain policy conclusions. But what we're always trying to peel back here on Civic Media is separating the performative from the reality. And the reality here is, if you look at GOP policies, what they say is they want to create us all into little perfect labor widgets.
Goes nice on a spreadsheet.
It does. Excel that, man.
We are the devil's advocates, often performative. Especially when
rarely
we got...
Rarely informative.
When we got Maggie Dawn, that's not the
case. Except when I'm on.
All right.
It might rhyme and be clever, but it's not true. It's not true, I assure you.
Not at all.
Just because we're going into the 4th of July does not mean that the news stopped. And we've got two U.S. Supreme Court rulings. We got another one to come back with, Maggie. Give them a little preview, the 30-second bite.
Yeah, well, we've got to talk about the fact that apparently it's okay to refuse services to people because they're gay.
But only if you sincerely believe it religiously.
You know, religiously, I really hate, you know, people that are racists, misogynists, and just general, you know, dumb people. Can I just be like, no dumb people?
That's where we're going, I guess. Folks, stick around. We are the Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy Friday.
No.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in two rings, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
This is CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right, everything you earned doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope, Discover does it automatically. Seriously though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 86. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 61. Highs level off around 86. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mid-80s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers, upper 80s Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Bad Radio 92.7 WMDX has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News.
On Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Radio show, Maggie Dawn, host of the Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media at 6 o'clock. Well, she does the best of on Fridays, but she joined us today live, and we do appreciate it. Lots of news coming out, of course, the U.S. Supreme Court. 303 Creative LLC versus Elenis. Is that how you pronounce Elenis? Elenis. 6-3, conservatives now say that you can refuse to do a website for what? Same-sex couples.
Yeah.
Now, let's start with the basis on here. Some of the reporting I've seen, Maggie, is that this wasn't really actually, no, like, factual. Like, this wasn't a thing. Like, she did not, it didn't happen. But they went to court anyway. How if that's the case, how would something like this even get that far?
You got me.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Because a bunch of conservatives wanted it to happen. Yeah, the concept that we're talking about here is ripeness. So, yes, on its face, if this woman, like, let's just take her claims as genuine. The fact that she had yet to be legitimately asked to build a website for a gay couple means that she actually hasn't been harmed, which means, yes, you can see that there's a conflict or controversy, but it hasn't yet ripened into a real conflict or controversy yet, thus depriving the plaintiff here of standing. That's what all of the federal courts should have done. And sent it back and avoided this. But no, not this court. And I just want to make this little observation, Dom. It was interesting to me. So these were the last three cases that they dropped, right? So we've got the student loan forgiveness program gone. Also today, you can discriminate and refuse to provide services to gay couples, okay? And yesterday was affirmative action gone. Why that grouping? Okay.
The timing.
Yeah. Why the affirmative?
4th of July, sister.
Oh, yes. I hit that. That was my first thing. You should totally listen to my show, The Maggie Dawn Show, available on civicmedia.us. I started with, isn't it interesting we're about to celebrate Independence Day, and here we have a group of white male oppressors telling people that aren't white or male what they can do and can't do.
And right? Clarence Thomas.
And, well... That is a whole trip. But no, what I meant was why these two cases on Friday and the affirmative action case yesterday, right? There's a whole bunch of permutations of these three cases, right? You could have done two yesterday and one today. Well, what are the two cases that weren't put together? That would be the affirmative action case and the you can discriminate against gay people case. And I got to thinking, well, why is that? Well, maybe we wouldn't want to have two cases dropped on the same day whose rulings are as follows. You got to treat everybody the same. It's okay to discriminate against gay people because those are the two rulings. The affirmative action case, wiping that out, central premises, you got to treat everybody the same. And one day later, the Supreme Court said, nope, you don't. That to me, like, boiled down, distilled to its most base.
Mickey, does
that's
it,
what happened.
Does it matter in your opinion that the basis is religious based? That, you know, I believe this thing, and so my heartfelt faith allows me to think this way or tells me to think this way, and therefore I don't want to go against my religious beliefs. Is that the premise here? I mean, is that what allows this kind of thing? Because as the atheist, where do I fall in that? Then how can I? Does that mean I can discriminate against anybody at any time in any way because I don't believe in any of those things? Or do I have to articulate a specific I don't like tall people kind of a thing?
So yes, there are a number of classes that are called protected classes under our Constitution. Race, gender, the nationality, country of origin, a bunch of things. And yeah, what this seems so problematic is exactly this. Where are we now drawing the line? Could all gay people now say, you know, that work maybe in like the fashion industry, I'm just not going to sell to people who are straight. And I'm not going to serve straight people. Like, I'm always asking people, like, compared to what? Right? Like, what's your baseline? When you talk about affirmative action, like, well, what's the baseline? Well, the baseline is we assume that the good way to do it, like, the thing that we need to preserve is the whiter version of it. Right? That's what they just said yesterday, is, like, it should just be whiter or Asianer. No, actually, we should be taking an affirmative step to undo, you know, like
400 years.
Yes, 400 years of oppressive systems that very court helped perpetuate time and time and time again.
But what is the limiting factor? Does interracial marriage, is that also something?
Miscegenation? Yeah, I mean, like, hey, Clarence, might that be a problem for you?
Is that, could someone then now deny services to an interracial couple based on their quote-unquote religious beliefs? I mean,
given that Scientology apparently is a legit religion and gets a tax exemption for it, I think we should just invent a religion and then start discriminating against all cisgender white.
That's the whole point, because and that's the thing about the religion, because there's an infinite number of religions. Because it's a religion, it's a faith, you can come up with whatever the hell you want. And whatever the hell you want, you can write it down in a piece of paper, and if people show up on Sunday and chant it and sing it with you, apparently that allows you, it gives you permission
to discriminate. Christianity.
So can then only Christianity? Can we
it
then?
Is truly, because even the Jews believe that abortion is acceptable. Life does not begin until the first breath. It's not a thing. Abortion's not a thing in Judaism. Christianity. Abrahamic religion.
Can the gay business owner then deny services to the Christian?
The breeders,
the Christians, or whatever the case may be. They would come out.
You're pointing out, where does this lead us? Right. That has to be the question that's asked. That's why, like, the language of the dissents here are extraordinary in all of these cases. And I said yesterday on my show, and I'm going to repeat it here now, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's dissent in the affirmative action case is 30 pages long. It should be required reading for every American.
I heard you do some of the reading last night.
I tried to. It was hard.
Emotional stuff.
It's so gross what they're doing.
Come back with us, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Friday. We air grievances. Having Maggie Dawn in the WOC studios ain't one of them.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Join the Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department for their 76th Annual Street Dance, Saturday, July 8th at 1559 Main Street in Rudolph. Parade begins at 3:30 p.m. with activities for the kids, food trucks and refreshments, the music of Southbound from 5 to 10 p.m. and fireworks at dusk by the Braddock Company. The Hub City Concert Series presents the Jerry Schmidt Band on Friday, July 7th at 7 p.m. at the Wenzel Family Plaza, 201 South Chestnut Avenue in Marshfield. This outdoor concert includes outdoor games and local food trucks.
The law firm of Gingras, Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras, Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
Discover credit cards automatically double all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year, which means... Wait, hold up. Question for the audio engineer.
Go ahead.
Did I read that right? Discover automatically doubles all your cash back?
Yeah, that's what the script says.
So if I get a Discover card right now, I can earn twice the cash back.
Apparently. Wait! Unlimited first-year cash back match, only from Discover. See terms and learn more at discover.com/match.
The 2023-24 Local and Lovin' It coupon book is out now in the community. Once again, you can pick up your books at many participating businesses and all six nonprofits. For just $20, you can enjoy recipes, jokes, contests, and even save tons in the area. This year's book has colorful fireworks on the cover, and it's their 10th anniversary. You'll continue to find great deals on food, drinks, golf, and groceries, and save money in most boutiques. In need of a service? Enjoy savings on tires, paint, windows, travel, and mobility equipment. You can even receive $10 a month at Ho-Chunk Casino in Nakusa. Play the contest and win gift certificates in the area. Find them on Facebook at Local and Lovin' It Mini Magazine. Get your books at most participating businesses or these local nonprofits: Wisconsin Rapid City Band, Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, Southwood County Humane Society, Wisconsin Rapids Lions Club, Pub Pilots, and VFW Post 2534.
Were there only three cases? The affirmative action yesterday and the two today? I thought there was another one yesterday. There's only three?
Something I thought got sent back.
No, but they did just take up the federal law that makes it illegal for someone to have a weapon if they have a domestic violence thing, restraining order. And I was like, put all this stuff together. Like, think of it all connected. It's pretty dangerous. It's pretty dangerous.
So what, expand the court?
It would just, I mean, when does it stop?
When we win.
Yeah.
Come on, it never stops. That's what self-governance is.
Well, if
never,
of course,
if, stop. If,
right, don't. It never stops.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition going into the 4th of July weekend. A lot of lost fingers this weekend. Be careful out there, people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We are in the midst of the happy hour, and we got Maggie Dawn here, and that makes me happy. So does cold beer and something on the grill.
Dave Matthews Band.
I got to admit, not my best Dave Matthews Band experience.
And you've been a bunch, right, Mike?
I have. Like six times.
I think I've seen them three times.
It's either, there are like two playlists. There are like the playlist of the, I mean, he played some of the favorites. I definitely knew, you know, a handful of the songs, like five or six. But I've been to Dave Matthews concerts where I knew every song. That's not what happened last night for me. Must have some new material.
Here's some off the new album. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Everybody groans. Oh no! Let's go get a drink.
It was great, man. Same thing. I mean, I knew some of the songs, but I was with the crew that knew all of them. And if I didn't know, I just kind of lean in. And they'd be singing it.
That's the best part.
Oh, watermelon celery,
singing and dancing. There's nothing better in the summertime, baby.
I tell you what. Let's take some calls. People want to react to the U.S. Supreme Court findings. And probably say hi to Maggie Dunn, 844-967-2789. A friend of ours, Dana from La Crosse, God's country. Say hi to Maggie Dunn.
Hey, Dana.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Maggie, I'm really enjoying your show as well. So I'm glad to have you all on the same show today. Yeah, you betcha. Happy 4th of July weekend, folks. Say, you know, with these decisions that are coming down, I don't think they really realize what they're setting up here. So you got the one today about the website designer. And then I believe yesterday, the one came down yesterday also about the postal worker who gets to exercise his religious work, his religious faith by not coming to work on Sundays. So conceivably then, I could be working somewhere. A customer could come in wearing a crucifix. I could refuse to serve that person. I would ultimately get fired. But then I could sue my employer for not allowing me to exercise my religious belief by refusing to, or not maybe my religious belief, but my belief by not serving someone who I think is a gullible group.
Yeah, it's.
What do you think?
First of all, I'm putting up hashtag gullible room. I'm looking at you, Mike Pence. But yes, like that's why I was trying to say you've got one ruling today, right, that says you can treat people differently based on their race or their sexual orientation or whatever nonsense sort of excuse that you can come up with and then call it religion and file for a tax exemption. And yesterday, in the same breath, when it comes to that same sort of question, just this time it'll help black people. A whole bunch of them are like, no, you got to treat them all the same. But it's not the same. Like, anyways, I couldn't agree with you more. We are on very thin logic ice and like righteousness ice, right? Where the court, and this is the thing, right? Like, these decisions that the court is making are huge, huge. Think about the cadence between like massive earth-shattering Supreme Court decisions before this particular court. It was like every few years there would be a big uproar. Now it's happening every single Supreme Court term.
And by that you mean they're overturning 40 years of precedent. Did they even try to meet the standard for why they should overturn the 40 years of precedent?
So there was an analysis in Dobbs where they go through. Like,
I'm sorry. I wasn't actually talking about Dobbs in this case. I meant the affirmative action.
Yes.
You continue.
Okay. I'm going to get there. I wanted to link that up because it's an interesting artifact of the affirmative
action
decision.
See, I thought I'd deposit not just a quarter, but 50 cents all at once.
Uh-huh. Well, let me give you a dollar's worth. So, yeah, in Dobbs, Alito actually went to great pains to talk through the standard for reversing precedent. What was fascinating in the affirmative action case was that nothing is ever said. They never say we're explicitly overturning these prior cases. But the language that is used in the case is so broad that what has been said in that case is that all of the prior jurisprudence of the Supreme Court that permitted this to occur in the past, it was all wrong.
I thought Thomas, in his concurrence, effectively named the case and said, this overrules it.
But he didn't have enough of the court joining his opinion as a concurrence for it to be considered an explicit overruling of those prior precedents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
See, that's why we have you come by on a Friday.
Listen, every once in a while, the rest guys of us learn are capable, a little thing or two.
Think of that hard.
Maggie Dawn, the Maggie Dawn Show. Dana had a good point, but I think he brings an employment, you know, kind of an employment situation. This, the Phillips, Jack Phillips, the guy who wouldn't bake the cake a few years ago, kind of set the baseline for this, right? He's the owner, right? This case.
And that was also a free speech case.
Yeah, the 303 Creative. She's
free
the owner.
Case.
Yeah,
she's
the owner. Well, what happens when an employee of an organization engages in the same kind of free speech by not serving someone who's a gullible rube wearing a crucifix and then gets fired?
Right.
Is there,
or like, when does an employee get to dictate it and when does the employer, like, who wins, right? Because like Hobby Lobby won't pay for birth control. That, remember the Hobby Lobby case? They were like, yep, Supreme Court, that's fine. You can do
that.
But
I'm a Satanist and we believe in contraceptive care.
So like, this is what gets so absurd when you let religion start dictating laws. It's not a salient way to govern society. It's just not. That is for you and your household with your faith leader. It is not for a courtroom. It is not for a government. And that is fundamentally the problem.
Yes. Thank you, Maggie, for clarifying that.
And may I clarify, I'm not actually a Satanist, but I do play the devil's advocate occasionally on the radio.
It's like, and yet.
844-967-27.
All hail Beelzebub.
I got to point out this one little factoid. So Robin J. Voss has a business. It's called Robin J. Voss Enterprises. It had one of the PPP loans forgiven.
Big one.
Yeah, for $297,000.
Wow.
Okay. But yeah, you know, people with making $75,000 or less or up to $120,000, two different income targets in the Biden loan forgiveness plan. Like, good for me? Nope, but not for you.
Not
so fast.
Well, you're not expecting Maggie, consistent criticism, are you?
We talk about the Speaker of the Assembly, do you see his newest? Now he wants to go and start retracting grants given on minority criteria, grants of like $250 to $2,500 given to individual students, of some minority status. It's like, man, that seems really damn racist and vindictive.
Yeah. What were the numbers again? $250
up to
$2,500. Yeah, you know, stick it to them where it really hurts. Here's the other thing that the GOP adopted budget did from Wisconsin. They zeroed out all the funding that Governor Evers had proposed for the following things. Zeroed it out. Outpatient mental health treatment. Day drug addiction treatment. Suicide and crisis lifeline grants and suicide prevention programs. Zeroed the items out in the budget. I'm sorry, what?
Well, that's just a renewal of tradition. Let's not forget when it was Ag Secretary Brad Peff, he was denied confirmation because he apparently chastised Scott Fitzgerald for zeroing out the suicide prevention hotline for farmers.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's so callous. And if you're listening and you're conservative, I just zeroed out outpatient mental health, outpatient addiction treatment, suicide and crisis lifeline grants, and suicide prevention programs. Zero. Not like less. Zero. Here's the other thing. Facts. There have been 116 Supreme Court justices in this nation's history. Four of them have been non-white. Three of them are sitting on the court today. And of those 116, six of them have been women in the entire history of the country, and zero of them have been LGBTQIA. So, yeah, I think there's a legitimacy problem when the oppressors get to decide willy-nilly the rights of the oppressed. Because it's not working. You don't get to say on Thursday, treat everyone the same, and then on Friday, say, yeah, but except for the gays.
844-967-2789. Our pal Tom from L.A. Say hi to Maggie Dawn, Tom.
Hey, Maggie, what's going on? First off, we the people, all of us, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Sorry, Maggie, didn't mean to jump on you.
No, love it. It's good to hear your voice again, Tom.
You have excellent message discipline, Tom.
Absolutely. Second, I think there needs to be some either commercials from people in the listening audience, or someone needs to buy some ads on civic media to talk about exactly what Maggie just said. And there needs to be some billboards on the I-94 corridor going all the way to Eau Claire into Madison and Milwaukee about Voss and this $297,000 forgiveness of the PPP loan. I mean, this is some big information that, I don't know, the person that runs against him should actually maybe bring up, or maybe the actual local media should talk about this. It really seems to me like there needs to be some sunlight in terms of what's going on out there with your guys' state legislatures, especially when they don't show up for work for, you know, 12, 13 months.
But Tom, here's the problem.
Of the year.
Tom, here's the problem. Gerrymandering, buddy.
Then I got to say one other thing for you, so don't hang up on me.
Well, gerrymandering's the problem. Adam Steen almost beat Robin Voss in a Republican primary. Hell, Donald Trump came to town and endorsed like 20 minutes away from Robin Voss's district and couldn't beat the guy in the primary. Now, the candidate that they ran against him might have been completely unappealing and perhaps a white nationalist, but I don't know the man well. That's for others to decide. But here's the point. The maps are so cooked, so baked in the cake, Tom. It doesn't matter what they do. There's no accountability through elections. You can't throw the bums out. They're in bummy districts.
Well, hopefully that world's going to change real quick.
It's going to take it's going to take years for that to sort out. And now we have these weird decisions from the Supreme Court about like sort of when they will get involved, but not directly. I mean, that was the independent state legislature case, and like thank God they ruled the way that they did. But there's this weird caveat that Roberts put in there that opens the door potentially to federal review of state courts adjudicating the district drawing decisions. So that's the thing that I mean to say about the Supreme Court. Even the cases that were considered potential wins this year, right? Like the couple of Voting Rights Act cases, Louisiana and I think
Alabama,
the independent state legislature case and the Indian Child Welfare Act case. All of those cases had these little caveats baked into them that make me very, very afraid.
Tom, wait. Give Tom his second thought. Tom, be quick, man. We're running out of time.
Hello.
Tom, give the second thought. Quick, buddy.
Yes. GayAndLesbianPages.com, GLPages.com, if you actually want to do business with people who support gay rights. And give money to people in our community.
Amen, brother.
Well, Tom, you know, thanks. We've been a partner for a long time. We appreciate you calling and representing not just the leftist coast, but as an ex-Badger, expat, you know, kind of representing all of us in a certain way. Come back. Your phone calls, they're welcome here. 844-967-2789. We've got a fine guest in the Walk Studios. It's getting hot up in here.
Get hiccupy up in here.
Yes, it's the hoppy. I'm drinking the Booze Cruise. It's a IPA with sort of a fruity hint to it. Pineapple, mango from our.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hey Badger fans, heard about the Varsity Collective yet?
The Varsity Collective was created by Wisconsin alumni with three goals. First, to help Badger student-athletes maximize their name, image, and likeness opportunities in college and beyond. Second, to support Badger student-athletes in the classroom and life through our mentorship program. And third, to facilitate charitable partnerships throughout the Badger community. The best part, you can be part of it. Learn how to support our Badger student-athletes at thevarsitycollective.com. That's thevarsitycollective.com.
In Wisconsin, Badger hockey is historic. We're proud of our nationally ranked Badgers winning six championships. At UW Health, we're also proud to support the same top rankings. Break your arm in a body check. Visit UW Health, the number one orthopedic care in the state. Or break your heart after a tough loss. The number one hospital in Wisconsin's got you. No matter the need, UW Health is here to deliver the best care for every Badger. UW Health. Remarkable.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 86. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 61. Highs level off around 86. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mid-80s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. Upper 80s Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM. The Devil's Advocates, rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show hanging out. We'll take your calls 844-967-2789. I also want to shout out Doc from Madison. Happy birthday today. Maggie, before we get back to the lines, I want to get your opinion. Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Election Commission, Republicans playing some games there. What's your thought here? My understanding is she's still on the job. Why is Devin LeMahieu going down this road to try to force her out? Is there any traction to this, you think?
Well, that depends. When does Janet get sworn in?
August 1st.
Right? So I think it state law requires 2/3 of the election commission to forward the nomination onto the Senate for confirmation. The three Republicans voted for it. The three Dems abstained, so not 2/3. I don't believe they've actually tried to take a vote to remove her on the Senate floor. And I don't know if the state laws actually say anything about removal of the elections director. Because remember, the Wisconsin Elections Commission came about because Republicans were really ticked off about the independent prosecutor investigation into Walker. And so they dismantled this prior agency and then booted out its director. So here we are again. You know what I mean? It's sort of
history repeats itself. Oh man,
come on, y'all. Get a new playbook. It's this thing again? I mean, for real. This is sort of standard GOP Wisconsin politics. If it works for them, they'll do it.
But is there any consequence to it?
I don't really know. She's still in the job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the result of that DNR case, Mike.
The Preen.
Yeah.
Here's the question before I was so rudely interrupted twice. But I forgot. Talk amongst yourselves.
A deep and well-pondered question. Thank you, Michael.
So I did want to point out, and I was saying this to Mike in the break, that one of the most ironic pieces about the affirmative action case, right, is not just that Clarence Thomas, indisputably was a very clear beneficiary of affirmative action and has said so himself. But the other thing that's really ironic is that Brett Kavanaugh was a legacy admission to Yale and said during...
Don't think he would have made it on his merits.
I'm good at beer. No, he said during his confirmation hearing, I actually looked up the quote because it's so good. I got into Yale Law School. That's the number one law school in the country. I had no connections there. I got in there by busting my butt in college. No, no, Brett. No, sadly, that's a lie. Your grandfather, Everett Edward Kavanaugh, of the Theta Chi chapter of the SSS Society, somebody found the yearbook, 1928. Everett Edward Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh's grandfather, attended Yale. Brett went to Yale as an undergraduate. Guess what percentage of Yale undergraduates are legacy admits?
Ooh, probably a big chunk.
Yeah, 25%. Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Wow.
So, like, it's affirmative action for white people.
Yes.
Rich white people.
Rich white people.
Yeah. Yes.
People whose parents were rich enough to go there.
Break.
Yeah, I mean, damn it.
Let's get to the phones while there's still time. Rico likes it when we call him Papa Rico.
Hey, Rico.
Say hi to Maggie Dawn. I hear you're going to the Brewer games on some Maggie Dawn tickets.
Hey, yeah.
You better be glad you said you were taking your grandkids. She was just about to take them back.
Oh, I know. I saved them. Hey, you know, but I got... Hey, little story, if I got time, now, guys, listen, you guys are all in this story. Back in April, you gave me some tickets for some Brewer games, Curdy, think, Ed, and I got two grandkids, so I took the oldest one, you know, and, you know, Papa's got to go, right? I got to drive. So I got in this predicament because the youngest one, he will play catch with me until my arm falls off. His name's Cameron, and he says, oh, I showed the pick Braden up that day. We went to the game, and he looks at me like, oh, you, what are you taking him for? He don't play catch with you, you know? And I'm like, oh, I'm in a predicament here. And so anyway, long story short, he was over last night, and you guys were on, and I said, well, Papa, you know, he looks at me, he says, Papa, are you going to win those tickets? You said you were going to win tickets for me, Papa. And I'm like, well, they're not really giving them away, buddy. You know, the Devils aren't really doing it tonight. These are the guys. I had you guys on the YouTube thing. He goes, oh, those are the guys. And he was checking out the radio. Anyway, and I said, I don't know, buddy. Looks like they're not giving them away. He looks at me like, some radio guy you are, you know. And all of a sudden I said,
Rico,
we still have Rico, we're the villains of this story,
you
Rico.
You saved my day. You saved my day, Maggie, because you came on and said, oh, I'm going to give these tickets away. I said, I don't know. I got a chance, kid. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome, hon.
Enjoy the game. Happy 4th. How did I become the villain of Rico's story?
I don't know, but I like it.
you fit the part, man.
Pizza Box Mike, welcome back, man. You got your big show rolling out at 7 o'clock. Outside the pizza box, but what's your early thought?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, I think I'm going to tear it up and probably rob my boss in the process. When I heard him say, oh, he may huff and puff, because you know how tough that Robin boss is, right? Wouldn't want to run into him during the apocalypse, would you? Anyhow.
No, I would. I'd take all his stuff.
It's the purge.
He wouldn't last long at all. I don't even know. Anyway, so... You remember when I used to sit outside his office and huff and puff on that vuvuzela? I got half a mind to get a bus of 50 people that can blow that thing till the end of Maggie Dawn's show. And everybody go to Robin Boss's house on that bus and blow and blow and blow and take that civil disobedience ticket. No problem.
What was it? Isn't there a biblical reference somewhere there? Some horns of Jericho or something? Tearing down the walls.
I don't know. Dom and I are like, don't know.
Tear down the wall. No. That was Pink Floyd.
Yeah, it was like, yeah. Different album.
Outside the pizza box, right here on the Civic Media Network. Find him on WMDX, our flagship from Madison. Mad Radio 92.7. Find it on the shiny new Civic Media app. Mark from the SAC. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. And Scott Walker, the guy who completely violated Wisconsin law and took the Supreme Court and the Republicans.
He had me violated.
A little ass out. That it's just disgusting that now they're going after the commission they created to, you know, bail Scott Walker's butt out. That it's just disgusting. That and got to twist the law however they want, and it is just remarkable. And I wonder if.
short on time. Have a wonderful 4th. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Don't blow off your fingers. One thought.
If you've never had a Supreme Court case, decide if you have the same rights as others. You're privileged.
Thank you, Maggie Dawn.
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swelling. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR.